To 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to start there here in just a moment, and just a little bit of testimony of our life. We are hail from Michigan originally, Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's where I was a firefighter. My wife was born in the terrible state of Ohio, but God delivered her from that and moved to Michigan when she was just a baby. And anyway, we raised our kid, got married, raised our kids there. And went into the ministry when I was 38 years of age. I was a fireman for 15 years there in Ann Arbor. God had called me. I was just trying to wait on the Lord. Talked about trying to go off to Bible college. I already had three children at the time, and it was a pastor. I'm thankful for a godly pastor who really encouraged me to just wait on the Lord. And we were out of Brother John Vaprazan's church in Belleville, Michigan, and just waited on God, and God opened a door. And at 38, we stepped out by faith with no salary and no support. Just stepped out into the ministry to trust the Lord, and God's provided every step of the way. So 27 years now, going on 27 years, the Lord's surely been faithful to us. We have five children, 14 grand, well, 13, 14th one is due here in a week, I think, and praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord that all of our children are in church, and they all love the Lord, and couldn't ask for much more than that, and thank God for that. But hope to get to meet you all a little bit better and greet you a little more as we go through the day. But, you know, I want to talk about something this morning that every message that you're going to get has something to do with some testimonies or whatever from my firefighting background or things like that. But this morning I want to talk about trials. You know, trials are a part of every one of our lives as much as we hate or maybe even despise them. But we've got to remember the great thing about trials. You say there's a great thing in trials? Yes. The great thing in trials is that we can be victorious through those trials. And the Lord wants us to be. As a matter of fact, if I can put it this way, we are the ones who give them, the trials, the power over us. We're the ones that give trials the power over our lives. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. Boy, that's the hard part of that. And I say oft times, I believe that's maybe one of the hardest commands in the scripture to follow. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your paths. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4, I had you turn there. I just want to read these couple verses to you here. And notice what it says here. It says, Beloved, think it not, verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, I want you to stop and just to get your mind thinking here a little bit. You say, what do you mean? That verse there, it says that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I believe that there's a present tense and a future tense to that. You say, what do you mean by that? I believe that there's a present tense in the respect that in the trials that we go through, there are the times when the glory of the Lord appears in the trials that we're going through. Amen. And to be able to see him in the trials that we're facing. And so I want to speak to you for just a moment. We're going to turn to Daniel chapter 3. And again, I said everything is kind of related to the fire this morning. And Daniel chapter 3, we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of my favorite stories in the scripture, and especially being an old fireman, amen. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about this story here in Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to give you the title of the message. You'll understand it a little bit more when we get a little further into it. But this is the title of the message. Then we'll go pray and we'll jump into it. If you'll trust him going into the fire, what you'll find coming out. If you'll trust him going into the fire, what you'll find coming out. Father, I pray that you'd bless the next few moments that we have to spend together. And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. And God, encourage us today in the fact that the trials are a part of this life, part of existence that we go through. But God, the trial does not have to have the power over us, and you can give us victory if we'll just keep trusting you. Lord, I pray that you would be with my mouth and my heart, my mind, and Lord, help me to say only what you would have me to. I pray that you would work through the power of your Spirit and the power of your Word and accomplish what only you can this morning. We'll be very careful to give you the glory for it, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Of course, we all know this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We tell this story to our children, and always an exciting thing for the children to learn. We used to, down at the camp, when I first started, we went into ministry. I went to Mount Salem Revival Grounds down in West Virginia and was a camp director with Brother Walker down there. And we would have to dramatize all the service. Brother Taylor would not allow us to preach to the juniors, Brother Ross, unless we dramatized the message. He did not allow anybody to, unless you're going to dramatize, you're not preaching to them. So we would dramatize these messages, and boy, the kids really get into them. But I'm going to tell you what, there's powerful truth for us adults today in these messages also. In Daniel chapter 3, we know the story. Let's just begin verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces were gathered together to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Boy, it sounds like the day that we're living in today. I mean, the government says do something and we got to do it. Amen. No, we don't have to do it. Amen. We need to worship the one and only true God. Amen. And we don't need to be worshiping a government. Amen. Hey, listen, don't get me wrong here. We don't need to be worshiping a nation either. Amen. I'm a patriot through and through, but I'm going to tell you something. We've gone way overboard on this thing. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? Hey, more important than being a citizen of America, I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. And we need to live like we are. Amen. We don't need to be bowing and kowtowing to a government and to a nation that's turned its back on God. Amen. What do you mean? We need to stand for what's right. Amen. So that's what happens here. Wherefore, at the time, the certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now, I'm sure about this time Nebuchadnezzar is thinking, well, I'll talk to them and it'll be all right. I mean, they'll do what I tell them to do. But they ain't going to have none of that. Amen. It goes on, the next verse says, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Notice what he adds. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Uh-huh. Okay, there's a burning fiery furnace prepared for every one of you that won't fall down and worship the image that I tell you to worship. And who is the God that could deliver you from such a thing? I've got a message that I preached to a teenager long, long time ago and entitled it, "Skip the Music." So what do you mean? That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are about to tell him. You can just skip the music because we ain't bowing down. Amen. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we ain't afraid of you. You ain't scaring us. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace, notice what it says, 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. How many is 1/7? Thank you. We got a lot of people today that are trying to pervert scripture. And I was taking some Bible courses. I didn't go off to Bible college, okay? I just tried to serve the Lord in the local church and everything. But I did take some correspondence classes through Bible college. And I was reading on a book on Daniel for one of my courses one time. And the author of that book said that when it says 1/7 times as hot here, it doesn't really mean 17 times as hot. That's just an exaggeration for an effect. The exaggeration for an effect. Why would God exaggerate in his word? We couldn't trust his word if we had to do that. Amen. And it goes on to say this. Now notice what it says. It says, people say, well, that's an impossibility. How could it be turned up 17 times hotter? Notice what it says, verse 20, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace. If you get the picture here, I mean, they put themselves out, if you would, these firefighters, these strong men in the army, they put their clothing on. I remember putting all my gear on. I almost brought my old bunker gear and stuff in just to show you, but a triple layer Nomex clothing and all that, okay? Well, they put on the best things that they could, but when they got to the mouth of the furnace, it burnt them up. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. What do you mean? Hey, we fought a fire one time. I was there in the city, big city of Ann Arbor. We saw a big old cloud of smoke coming up, and we could tell it was a long way away. But I mean, it was a huge column of smoke coming up. And we got a call, and we had to respond to a mutual aid request to this department, a smaller city southwest of us called Saline, Michigan. And they had a huge Ford plant there. And what happened is all the parts bins that they had in the back of the plant caught fire. And I mean, I'm talking, I don't know how many acres, but I mean, an expansive piece of property with all these parts burning. There was 13 different cities that sent trucks there to try to help them fight this fire. The fire was so hot that when we first pulled up, we couldn't even get close to it. I mean, you couldn't get within... Probably the 1,000 yards of it. The heat was so intense. I mean, we were zipped up. We had our mask on and everything, but we couldn't even get close. It was so hot. We had to take one crew and open up their nozzles and use fog nozzles to cool the air down so that we could get closer to fight this fire. So don't tell me they couldn't have heated it up 17 times hotter and these boys couldn't have been slain. But, don't you love it when God butts in? Amen. But, it didn't happen to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice what it goes on to say here. It says, Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. You know what? That book that I read that said that was an exaggeration for effect, it also said that this probably wasn't Christ in the fire with them. It said it in the originals, it means somebody like to. So it probably wasn't. I'm going to tell you something, people. Every trial, every fiery trial that you and I go through, we've got a Savior, if you know him, that loves you, and he's in the middle of that trial with you. Amen. He's going to help you through it. He's going to give you what you need. And as we continue to read here, it says this: Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth and out of the midst of the fire. Here's the first point. I got 5 points, and I'm going to go through them rapid fire. We got about 15 minutes, okay? Point number one is this: what you'll find if you trust God going into the fire, what you're going to find coming out. Number one, God is faithful. Amen. 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 What do you mean, man? If you trust him going into the fire, coming out on the backside, you're going to be able to look back and say, boy, God has been faithful to me. Amen. Through the trials that you go through, the fiery trials, the troubles, the heartaches. I think about different passages of scripture. We read from 1 Peter chapter 4. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Everybody seems to think that that means a sin, a temptation to sin. That's not what that means. You look that word up, it means trials, it means adversities, it means the different things that we go through. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. What are you saying? Hey, I'm telling you, God is faithful through all the trials that we go through in our life. Sometimes it's hard for us to see that. But if we just keep trusting him as we go into the fire, we're going to find some great and wonderful things about that trial when we come out on the other side. Here's what happens. We don't trust him going into it, and we begin to look at the things around about that could keep us and hinder us from it. Then when we get on the other side of it, we'll say, yeah, the Lord was there, but this happened, and but that happened, and but that. But God was faithful. Amen. What are you saying? He's going to be faithful through the trials that you go. I was thinking about, I'm probably not going to share it today here, but oftentimes I've been asked by preachers to share my testimony. I grew up in a pretty tough situation growing up. Earliest recollections of life for me, everybody tries to think back, how young was I? Could I remember, you know, life at what age? I don't know. I was probably 4 years old, but the earliest recollections of life for me were taking a pillow and wrapping it around my head and trying to drown out the screams of my mom as my dad was abusing her and beating her. We grew up in that kind of atmosphere. My father was a World War II veteran, but he was discharged with a nervous breakdown. They put him on Valium, and he began to drink along with the Valium, and he became an insanely violent person. We lived with that. As little children, we would huddle together. Preacher, as little children, not even coming to a place of salvation yet. My dad kept us from going to church when we were younger. But we would huddle together and we would pray and we would ask God to not let Dad come home, because we knew as soon as he came home, it was going to be a bad situation. I remember that little four-room house that we lived in. We had four rooms. It was an 800-square-foot home, and there was four of us children. And there was one bedroom, there was one little bathroom, there was a kitchen, and there was a living room. And my dad converted the attic. He drywalled the attic and put all four of us children up there. That was our bedroom. I mean, I'm telling you, during the winter, it was freezing cold. And during the summer, it was boiling hot up there. But that's where we stayed. I mean, I can remember the nights of him coming in. And I can remember nights that I would walk by my mom's bedroom there, and she'd be sitting on the edge of the bed. I'd say, Mom, what are you doing? And she said, I'm reading my Bible, son. Come here. And she'd pat the bed. And I'd go in and sit down beside her on the bed. And she'd begin to read the Bible to me. I found out Mom had a whole lot more theology than most Bible scholars today, because she just read it and believed it. Amen. She only had a seventh grade education. Her mom died when she was in seventh grade. She became mother to three siblings that were younger than her. She had a pretty rough go. Those same nights that I would sit there and she'd read the Bible to me, my dad would come in and abuse her and beat her. And just terrible situations that we went through. I can't even share the gambit of things. But I'm going to tell you something. Even through all of that, God was faithful. I expected it to be quiet. You say, how can you say that? Because we watch God. Hey, listen, those prayers to God as a little child, don't tell me that God doesn't hear the prayers of little children. Saved or unsaved, amen, that are calling out to God. He heard those prayers, and at times he intervened and did things. And our family, no question in my mind, should have been one where a father killed the whole family and killed himself too. But God, what are you saying? God was faithful through that. God did protect us. God did take it. But what about what your mom had to go through? Hey, my mom many times said, you know what? I'd go through it all again just to be able to make sure that you all turned out the way that you turned out. My dad died when he was younger. I say younger, 70-some years of age. But my mom lived to be 86 years old. And God blessed us with a lot of time with her. And what are you saying? Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's adversities. Yes, there's things that we're going to have to go through. But don't look at that side of it. Look at the side of it that God's faithful through those things. There's four of us children raised in that home. Two of us have been able to live victorious lives. Two have not. What's the difference? God. Faith and trust in God. Belief that it was okay, that God knew what he was doing, allowing those things to happen. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, by what I had to go through with my father and everything, the end of the story was a lot better. Maybe some other time I'll be able to tell you. But by going through what I was able to go through, I have helped so many people. God allows us to go through those trials. Why? So we can help other people as we go through those trials. Amen.
Amen.
There's preachers that have wept beside me, Brother Ross, at an altar, asking me to pray with them and help them with their relationship with their father. What are you saying? God will put us through things, but he'll always be faithful to be there for us. Amen. Second thing is this, as we continue to read here, boy, I love these two things. I got to speed up a little bit here. It says, verse number 27, the princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors being gathered together saw these men. I love this. It says, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. What are you saying? Hey, the second thing, now, number one, what you'll find coming out on the other side, God's faithful. Number two, the fire really has no power over you. What do you mean? Hey, the trial that you're going through, it don't have no power over you. Nothing. God's the one who is the most powerful. He's the omnipotent one. Amen. And he's the one that can help you through that fiery trial. And he'll show you, if you'll just keep trusting him in the fire, he'll prove to you, come out the other side, that the fire really had no power over you. Amen. I remember when I first went into the fire department, I was a little bit fretful going in because I didn't know what I was going to. You know, this was one of those things where I was hired. Seven people were hired out of a group of 900 people that took the exam. I was the seventh man hired. And you ever cut deals with God? God, if you let me. Yeah, I was cutting deals with God. If I can get this job, God, I promise you, I'll be a witness for you. Boy, God put me on the spot right away. What do you mean? I got hired in, went through the schooling and training and everything. First day on the job, 26 men, firefighters at the main station, go through to get my meal, to sit down and to pray for my meal at lunchtime. And as I go through and as I bow to get my meal at lunchtime and bow to say this little prayer, just bowed my head, tucked my hands under the table, and said a little blessing. I know it wasn't very long. You ever get a feeling people are staring at you? And I said my little prayer, and I looked up, and when I did, there was a guy leaning across the table looking me right in the face. He said, well, 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 what do we got ourselves here? Some kind of preacher or something? And everybody in the station started laughing at me. He said, what'd you do? I felt like what you would feel like about that big. What did you do? I had to get alone and say, God, you got to help me through this. I did not expect this. There's no way I anticipated having to jump, being put into a boiling fire of men that were going to challenge me. So, hey, that night I got my tray table, sat down to eat my meal. What'd you do? Did the same thing, bowed my head and said my little blessing. I look up and everybody's looking at me, laughing at me, preacher. What'd you do? I just kept praying, saying, God, you got to help me through this. You got to help me through this trial, man. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't do this without you. And you know, within a couple years, they were asking me to pray for meals. You know, I was able to lead four of those firefighters to the Lord before I left the fire department. What are you saying? Man, if you'll just trust God going into the fire, you're going to find coming out on the other side, number one, that he's faithful. Number two, that the fire has no power over you. And number three, look at this real quick. It says this, the very next thing, it says, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Can I tell you, that's an impossibility. That is totally impossible. You say, Brother Martin, are you challenging the Word of God? Not at all. I'm saying I'm so thankful and so glad that I've got a God of the impossible. That he can bring impossible things to pass. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when I would fight fire, you can ask my wife, I'd come home from fighting a fire. I'd try to shower up and clean up. Well, first of all, she'd tell me, get your clothes off outside. Take the clothes off and leave them out there and I'll wash them. I'd go in and shower up. And sometimes I could shower for a week and there'd still be smoke smell in my body oozing out of my body.
Right.
What are you saying? That is literally an impossibility. But what was God trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us that through the fiery trials that we go through, not only does he have the power to be able to keep the trial from having power over you, but also he has the ability to be able to remove any lasting effects. So what are you saying, Brother Martin? No lasting effects from the fire. From the trial, the fiery trial that they had to go through. What do you say, you really believe that, Brother Martin? Yes, I do believe that. Why? Because I've lived through it. I go back to the testimony of growing up as a child. And boy, there's so many people have said, you know, you should have these psychological problems and you should have these other things going on in your life. Listen, God gave me victory over that a long time ago. And when my dad died, I was there for him. When my dad died, he died of cancer. I was able to be there for him. I picked him up and carried him back and forth. I tried to do everything for him, shaved him, did all those things for him and everything. Hey, this is after, and again, I can't tell you all the testimony. This is after my dad threatened to kill me and tracked me around the city with a deer rifle wanting to shoot me. You say, what are you saying, Brother Mark? I'm saying, no lasting effects from all of that stuff in my life. Why? Because God's greater. Amen. The truth of the matter is, the reason why we have lasting effects from the trials that we go through, I go back to the beginning statement, is because we give the trial the power over us. Amen. What are you saying, man? We got a God that's bigger than anything. Amen. Let's start living like that. Let's believe that, especially when we go through the trials of life. Amen. I don't, again, have the time to go through. I'll just give you these last 2 points. I got 3 minutes here. The next one, number four, is this. It says in verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language that speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. This is a heathen people saying this. What are you saying? Hey, the fourth thing that will happen, you trust God going into the fire, what you're going to find coming out is that God will be exalted by other people, even the lost. Amen. When you make it through a trial trusting him and you're on top side, people will look back at that and they say, man, there's something about that person's life. Man, that God that they have, there's something about that God that they have. Amen. What are you saying? Boy, we need to get back to being the kind of Christian that believes God and trusts God, even when the trials are hot in our life. Amen. Why? Because in the end, the Lord will be exalted by others. Amen. I still remember when I left the department. Again, I left. I had no salary, no support. I went debt-free, praise God, preacher. But when I got down there, we didn't have. There was one church took us on for support. By the end of the first year, we were living on $300 a month support. You say, how did you make it? I pulled my pension out. That lasted about 6 or 8 months, and it was gone. Well, how did you make it? God. Amen. Amen. God. Listen, I went back to the department, and the department, again, I can't share all these stories, but the guys in the department said, I still remember the day that the chief came in after you left. That chief said, you know, I'm going to hold his position for 2 years if it's okay with the union. So he can come back. I told Chief, I ain't coming back. The chief of the department tried to give me $15,000 when I left the department out of his own bank account. I said, Chief, I don't want your money. Listen, that wasn't me. I guarantee you that. It wasn't me. $15,000. That wasn't me. But it was God saying, wait a minute. Are you trusting me or not? Why? So that I can get exalted in the end. I'm going to tell you why. That department to this day, not because of who I am, but that department to this day looks at God in a different manner. What are you saying? Number five, and last thing is, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The Lord will lift you up in the eyes of other people too, if you'll just trust him. Amen. Going into the fire. What are you saying? Boy, some things Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned. As they trusted God going into the fire, they found out some wonderful things coming out. God's faithful. Amen. The fire really had no power over them. Hey, it didn't have any of the lasting effects that it could have had on their life. Amen. God was exalted by even the heathen. And they were promoted in the end. God, help us to follow the pattern that they followed. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be here today. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for their great preacher. I pray that you just bless our services and our time together. Lord, help us to learn to trust you through the trials, the fiery trials that we face in this life. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.